Obeying God involves hearing His word and taking action in accordance with His word, becoming a doer. We must put into practice what we hear. The reality is that I can go to church and I can hear God's word for decades and never be transformed by it.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. As always, it's a joy to be with you, and we're excited about diving deep into God's Word together today. We're continuing to talk about the concept of obedience and surrendering to God. Martyred missionary Jim Elliot said it like this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he can never lose." Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to James chapter 1, looking at verse 22, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, "Doers, Not Hearers Only."
I made this note here. I said, Jesus does not partially change people. When Jesus changes a person, their heart changes, and so does their level of obedience to Him. Like when my heart's radically changed, even though I still struggle, and there's some days where I don't feel like reading the Word, if I'm honest. You ever have those days? I'm the only one?
No.
Okay, all right. I got a brother. Okay, praise God. I felt a little lonely up here, a little isolated. I mean, there's some days where you're like, you know what, I just don't feel like it. There's some days where you do something you shouldn't do. There's a day where you think something you shouldn't. I mean, we're speaking the same love language here, aren't we? Because we're all going amen, right?
Amen.
We're all broken. I have this phrase around my house. I say it to my wife all the time. But I say, we're all a mess. Like, I'm just a mess. She likes to say we have issues. That's a little more politically correct, right? Man, I'm a mess. Like, I'm a broken mess. But praise Jesus, amen? I mean, praise God that I pray he's in your life today. I pray that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has just so radically gripped you. I pray that you are no longer the same. And those times where we do sin, I pray that the time of repentance and the time of sinning, those two things, that as we sin and then we repent, but we pray that as that sanctification is working in our lives, we pray it gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Amen? Whatever it may be on your sin radar, and you go, bam, Holy Spirit, speak into my life. I shouldn't do that. Please forgive me, God. That's walking with the Lord daily. That's communing with the Lord. That's abiding with the Lord moment by moment. Being a doer of the word. Look what he says secondly, though. Be doers of the word, God's word, the implanted word, and not hearers only. In the original language, that word hearer simply means this: someone who listens. Not overly complicated, is it? What he's saying is that hearing is not bad. Don't misunderstand this. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't go, well, the word says hear, just not a hearer only, so that means I shouldn't listen anymore. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying don't be a hearer only. Don't just compartmentalize and say, I'm just going to be a hearer. No, I'm going to be a doer of what I hear. Now, that goes even deeper because we got to then filter what we're hearing, right? I mean, not everyone that says I'm a Christian, not everyone that says I'm a pastor, not everyone that says I'm a teacher of the Bible is necessarily on God's page.
Amen.
So we got to be discerning, don't we? So what we hear, we got to filter. What we hear, we have to discern. How do you do this? Well, you go back to be in the Word. This is your benchmark. The Word of God is your benchmark. It's your filter. It's what you gauge everything by. You test everything with the Word. You hear something, you go, well, what does the Word say? Investigate it. I think one of our biggest epidemics we have in our United States of America right now is we have this mass epidemic of people not being self-feeders. We think all we got to do is show up for 32 minutes on a Sunday morning, no Bible in hand, no device in hand with a Bible on it, no pen, no notes. I watch church leaders, even pastors of churches I go to, who don't have a Bible. Everyone just sits there. And then we shake our heads. I can't believe all this demonic school violence. I can't believe all the depravity going on in our culture. And boy, we just shake our heads and we shake our fists. This is what happens when you kick God out of your lives. Amen. We're to be a doer and not just a hearer. Baxter, the Puritan, said it like this. There must be inward practice by meditation of the word and outward practice in true obedience. There's a healthy tension, I made a note here, between the hearing of God's word and the obeying of God's word and vice versa. Just three verses prior, look at James verse 19 of chapter 1. He says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak." Hearing is important. Matter of fact, we would go even deeper. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, 14 through 16. It's one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture from an evangelistic perspective. I love this text. Romans 10, 14 through 16. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how then shall they believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written?" How beautiful are the feet of those. Beautiful feet. "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Boy, hearing's got its place, amen? We hear it. You're hearing it right now. The studies show that we only retain about 20% of what we hear. So what you're hearing today, and I pray it's straight from the Lord, I pray anything that's of me that God would supernaturally just remove from your hard drive. But I pray that no matter how much you like it or don't like it, I pray that if it's of the Lord, I pray that you would retain all of it. But we know from a human standpoint, we're limited. That's why I encourage people. Go to the dollar store. Get a pen and a dollar notebook and put it with your Bible and begin to take notes. Because the older we get, what's the first thing to go, brothers and sisters? That memory, isn't it? Man, I'll tell you what, there's days I walk into a room and I stand there and go, "What on earth am I doing in this room?" Well, the last thing we want to happen is when you go to church that, you know, you get out to the parking lot and you've forgotten half of the word that was preached. Amen. We got to be hearers. That's why key number two is this. Write it down. Key number two. Obeying God involves hearing his word and taking action in accordance with his word. Let me say that again. Obeying God involves hearing his word. It's important. James is not saying no longer hear. No, he's saying don't hear only. Obeying God involves hearing his word and taking action in accordance with his word, becoming a doer. We must put into practice what we hear. The reality is that I can go to church and I can hear God's word for decades and never be transformed by it. We got people all over our country sitting in churches this morning who've been there for decades. And the only thing that's going on in their heart is a charade. Just living the lie. Playing behind the mask. God's goal for my life and your life is not to be a pew sitter, and give him an hour and 17 minutes on a Sunday morning and then give him a tip in the offering plate. God's goal for your life and my life is that when we are truly saved, our lives are no longer our own. That's it. When you realize, church family, that you've been bought with the most precious blood that's ever been shed, you no longer are in a bargaining position. Well, Jesus, what's behind door number 3? Okay, how about 2? No, you just go, here's my life. Like, you take me, you use me for your glory, for your praise. But they're going to hate me. Yeah, Jesus said that, didn't he? What if my family abandons me? It could happen. What if my church friends think I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Amen.
Maybe your transformed life may lead them from the pew to the cross of Jesus Christ. Maybe you might be the catalyst in your own church. Let me something. Churches begin to get saved. Well, that sounds strange, doesn't it? What happened to your church? Oh, I got 9 million people, and they finally all got saved. I mean, that's what's going to change the world. I mean, I'm all for legislation. I'm not here to debate that, but, you know, enact whatever bill. Great, great, great. But if we continue to look to human solutions to solve a spiritual crisis, we will never get out of this mess. We got to be a hearer, but we also got to be a doer. Kind of like, remember, who has children? You have a child, you don't have a child in the room? I'm sorry. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just a joke. Just teasing. Just kidding. You know, you tell your child, go clean your room. And typically, they probably don't do it on the first go-around. And so you go back to them and you say, hey, I examined your room and I noticed that it's actually worse than it was before. Yeah. And their retort to you is, but I heard you. That ain't going to fly in your house, is it?
Amen.
Do you think it's going to fly in God's house? I heard you. Why didn't you go? Why didn't you take your life and the gifts and talents I gave you and use them for my glory and my praise to go make a difference where I planted you? Why? We want to be hearers, but church, we've got to be doers. Who did Jesus struggle with the most? Was it the down and outers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors? Now, who did he struggle with the most? The religious elite, right? Well, the people who had it all together, right? Listen to his potent words in Matthew 23. Jesus literally, he goes off on a diatribe here. I mean, when Jesus calls you and your posse a bunch of hypocrites, fools and blind, brood of vipers, note to self, he's not giving you a compliment. Like, in case you were wondering, he's not going, boy, he thinks I'm great. Listen to what he says here in Matthew 23, 25 through 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but on the inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness.
You You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
When a heart is not genuinely changed, the best we can do is keep up the appearances, right? But sooner or later, the charade will unravel. You can't keep this thing up forever. That's the beauty of being joyfully, truthfully saved. Just like you can't hide deep-seated pride of an unconverted, rebellious heart, you equally can't hide when a heart is radically rescued, gloriously ripped apart, and humility is now the dominant trait as the sanctification goes on. Like, you just can't hide it. It's just who you are. See, learn this deep truth, church family, as I'm preaching to myself, that who we are truly will always truly be revealed, period. Who we are truly will truly always be revealed. The ultimate question is not, am I in the Word? You're probably wondering, okay, where's he going with this one? Bear with me. The ultimate question is not, am I in the Word? That's a good thing. But the real question is the Word in me? As I'm longing to be a doer, and I pray this morning that we're longing to obey, the key in this always is the Word of God. I can't say this enough. We begin with the Word, we're finished with the Word, and everything in between is the Word. What does the Word say? See, when you're truly saved, you're truly saved. And when you're truly saved, you have an outflow of works and doing that's not for the salvation, but from the salvation. There's an outworking of your heart that's now new and fresh and begins to sing for joy in Christ. That your treasure is no longer you, your treasure's Him. As we become a hearer, and then a doer. J. Vernon McGee said it like this: doing, not doctrine, is the final test of faith. Knowing is not enough. Let me say that again. Doing, not doctrine, is the final test of faith. Knowing is not enough. There are so many people, the old phrase goes like this, that you're going to miss heaven by 10 inches. That you knew it here in the head, but it never made it to the heart. See, if it's all intellectual, like we can be like the Pharisees. They knew the law backwards and forward, and yet Jesus comes out swinging in Matthew 23. He's not mincing any words. You know this, you know this, you know this, but your heart has not changed. I wonder how many people that you might know, that I might know, who know about Jesus, but they just don't know Jesus. That's why the last part of this text says this. I'll read it in context. Be doers, become doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That phrase, deceiving yourselves, that word deceiving, gives the connotation in the original language of being cheated by miscalculating. You could also say this, that it even goes further, that it also means to be seduced. Any sort of seduction, whether it be sexual or any other issue, is where we are led away and we are cheated, aren't we? Like any time that I go headfirst into sin, or you go headfirst into sin, you're not gaining, I'm not gaining, we're losing. Like there's nothing to be gained by sin. Now our flesh thinks so. That's the deceitfulness of sin, what it does to us, doesn't it? Well, if I just had this, if I go get this, if I get involved in this relationship, if I go to this addiction, if I hang on to this bitterness, this unforgiveness, whatever it is, you fill in the blank, the sinfulness within inside of us goes, hey, if you have that, that will be your security blanket. No one will ever hurt you again, and you can go forward. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because it's a blanket all right, but really what it is, it's a blanket of shackles. And the person that's imprisoned the most is not the person you're trying to hurt, it's you. And the blood of Jesus Christ frees us from us, amen? I mean, he did the one thing you and I can never do, and that's die for me. Free me from me. James says, look, if you're going to be a hearer only and not a doer, not an obeyer, the person that's getting deceived is not the people around you. It's not your church, it's not your school, it's not your employment, your workplace. James is saying it's you. Like if I was to take a poll here this morning and go, how many people woke up this morning going, you know, actually forget this morning, I was in bed last night, I pulled the covers up to my chin, and I closed my fist in a form of a prayer, and I said, Dear Jesus, please help me to deceive myself tomorrow. Anyone pray that prayer last night? Hey, I want to be deceived tomorrow, and I want to deceive myself. Think about how silly and ludicrous that is. But James is saying, look, if we're going to hear only and not obey, we are living in self-deception. Like we can't blame everybody else. We live in a blame-shifting society, don't we? I mean, it's crazy. It's always someone else's fault, right? I call it spiritual hot potato. I don't want this. Your fault. You take it. I know it said hot coffee on it. I know it said hot coffee. But I'm still going to sue you for $47 trillion. I mean, you talk about utter insanity. That's where we're living today. You say, well, it doesn't sound very good. Oh, it's real good. You know why? Because the light doesn't shine the brightest where it's the brightest. It shines the brightest where it's the darkest. And we begin as church families, as this church family, you begin to hold up the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the glorious thing. Can I give you a secret on evangelism and discipleship? Take the pressure off yourself. You don't have to close the deal any longer. It's not up to you. You don't have to close the deal. You've got to be obedient. God's word says this, that when he is high and lifted up through his son Jesus Christ, he draws men unto himself. If we're lifting ourselves high up, we're drawing men to who? And guess what happens? I let you down. And when I let you down, guess what you do? You run for the piney woods. We just get out of the way and we lift up Jesus. We go, man, it's the word of God. I've had this vision all across Tampa Bay that every church would have some sort of podium. They would have the word of God open on the podium 24/7, 365 with a light shining on the word of God. So you walk by the glass doors right there in front of me and all you see in the room is darkness except for one thing. You see the light of the gospel. I believe you did that. I bet there'd be people getting saved right on that porch. It's the word of God. It's the power. Here's the power. People wonder all the time, where do you get the power? Right here. This is it. I can't entertain you into the kingdom of heaven. Can't do it. Can't do it. But what I do is just give you the word. And the word has power, amen? The word can set you free. The word can set you free today and no longer be deceived. Last point as I prepare to close. Last point, key number three. Key number three, write it down. If I'm content with just hearing God's word and not obeying it, I am making a fatal miscalculation and living in deceit. Let me say that again. Key number three. If I am content with just hearing God's word, I'm just going to show up on Sunday and listen, done for the week. And not obeying it, I am making a fatal miscalculation and living in deceit. You go, man, those are strong words. Where do you get that from? That's what James just said. You're going to be a hearer of the word, or you're also going to be a doer of the word. If it's only hearing, you are deceiving. You are miscalculating, and you are cheating no one but you. I remember recently I saw a clip that a famous person was interviewed. And the famous person was interviewed, and the interviewer asked him this potent question. They said, how did you lie to so many people for so long? It's a pretty bold question. How did you lie to so many people for so long? And without hesitation, this famous person looked at them and said, because I first began to lie to myself. That's what James is talking about. Self-deception. I mean, if we are just hearing only and not obeying, we will begin to lie to ourselves and be deceived, and we will rationalize. No one rationalizes sin like we rationalize our own sin. Amen? We will justify it till the cows come home, won't we? And that's why God's asking us. He's pleading for us. Because the insanity of sin is that we are duped by our own prideful, insatiable desires that seek pleasure in being me-centered, me-exalting, me-driven, and me-saturated. And the end result is not satisfaction, but rather we are enslaved and imprisoned to a life of being deceived. Spurgeon said it like this: I fear we have many such in all congregations, admiring hearers, affectionate hearers, attached hearers, but all the while unblessed hearers, because they are not doers of the word.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.